遥か遠くに浮かぶ星を思い眠りにつく君の選ぶ未来が望む道がどこへ続いていても共に生きるから、ずっと昔の記憶連れられ
Hello and welcome back to Oops More Anime, the podcast where my friend and I can't stop watching anime no matter how hard we try. I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
That's true.
As always, by Six.
Hi, it's me, Six.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born on Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles.
On the Boulevard?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Wait, there's a hospital there?
No, I believe I was born at home. Well, you know, that's a good
point.
Out
of the ocean.
I don't know if I was technically on the boulevard when I was physically born. That's a good point.
Yeah.
There was student housing there. That's where my parents were living at the time. So that's that whole thing. But I also know my mom did some like home births, and I might be one of those.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Oh.
But regardless. Hi, I'm Six Stemar. I'm from Scanline Media.
I'm excited to have you here as my co-pilot. That story reminds me of a time in study hall where I probably told this story to someone somewhere before, but you know, the teacher or the proctor of the study hall would always be like, "Hey, what class are you coming in from?" If people would walk in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they would shorten that to "Where are you from?" or "Where are you coming from?" And one time, I'll never forget it. A young girl was so nervous. And the woman goes, "Hey, where are you from?" And she goes, "Bolivia." And it was so cute and so innocent. And it's permanently in my brain. I don't know why. Shout outs to her wherever she is these days.
Doing her best.
Anyways, big Soleta Mercury energy, honestly, as we reach yet another episode of how bimbo-fied can Soleta be before the world literally collapses around her. With our discussion today of the newest Witch for Mercury episode, Their Choice, episode 8. Six overall thoughts before I give the summary. How do you feel about Their Choice?
It is more coherent than past episodes have been, and that's nice. I still have some objections, and it just wasn't very exciting.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna give the summary, and then I'll give you my thoughts. How about that? Because my thoughts also have to do specifically with the plot. So. I wrote this out. Here we go. The Gundam team discusses the buyout, and it's time to find out what Miorine's plan was to do with the Gundams all along. But first, she and Soleta meet with Lady Prospera, who sends them Ariel's data and says that it's impossible to mass produce because they just can't seem to figure out the gun format for some reason. But she wants them to forward the idea that Gundams are safe to use in the world and everyone should use them. Meanwhile, it's time for the investment disclosure meeting. That's right, folks. It's a Gundam show. And the team is discussing articles of incorporation, rosy business plans, and who they could sell the Gundam as weapons to without being morally compromised. The answer is no one. Miorine assigns the team their tasks as we have a secretary, art designer, and PR video team assembling. Elsewhere, Shadik meets with Guel, who's being bullied while trying to enjoy his cup of soup. He's interested in working together again for potentially mysterious reasons, as he receives a phone call from his father, Sarius, mentioning that mobile suits and other equipment are en route to him to help him seize Ariel, but Shadik doesn't plan to beat her in a duel, necessarily. Desperate to learn more about the Gundam technology, Miorine meets with Balmeria Winston, who admits that she's merely doing the echoing the gun's initial ideals. Excuse me, that's the term she uses. Shadik offers Miorine an offer she can't refuse. If she accepts his money and personnel, he gets a stake in the company, and she can surpass her father's dreams of the future, like they tried to do so many years ago. Back at the base, Miorine offers two options for the Gundam to generate revenue. Either they become weapons contractors, or, as a video from the prologues Dr. Cardo Nabo promotes, the gun technology can be used to advance medical tech and save lives. Probably. Unless... And finally, on a bike ride home with Soleta, Miorine receives a new version of her contract from Shadik. The new article of the student business startup regulation references additional safety checks before you can start a company, preventing Gundam from getting off the ground. Shoddy and Co. planned for this all along, and with no company to support them and no resources to spend, he can easily buy their company and seize Ariel without lifting a finger. How's that? End of podcast. We're done.
Yeah.
All right. Good night. 2 minutes. Okay. That took me 2 minutes. For context, I'm in my last semester of business school, and it was really odd to me watching a Gundam show, seeing how much of it was like, are they just doing MBA shit? Like, we need to write a business plan. We need, like, a new slogan for our company. We need logos. We need PR.
And the answer is no. The answer is they're name-dropping those things and they're not actually doing them. But
yeah, they're just saying we should probably make a logo, and then at the end of the video, it's like, oh, that's the logo. Like, we kind of skipped the part where they did the work, which is a little strange.
I think that's what's frustrating to me is, like, as an episode, this is like, okay, this is going to be a very talky, very business-focused episode. And I'm like, okay, that could be interesting. And then they don't do that.
And then it's done. They did it.
So if I feel like you shouldn't have the scene of Lily Kay standing there with the clipboard in front of the board, in front of the, like, the little whiteboard explaining all the things that need to be done if you don't actually care about that. And what this episode actually is about is, like, look at Shadik. Isn't he an asshole? Which, like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, he throws out all the work of the episode. And there is something funny about Lily Kay standing in front of that sign, like, look at all the tasks we checked off. And I'm like, when? You did all of this in a cut, in between shots. What the fuck?
And also, like, I mean, the way they set it up is, like, okay, like, Lily Kay will handle this third of the list. No, it's like, no, sorry. Let me re-divvy this up, right? Lily Kay will handle the first 3/8, right?
Yeah.
Till will handle the next 4/8, and Lily Kay will help him a little. The remaining 1/8 is for the other 7 of
everyone
you.
Else.
That's like, what the fuck did y'all do for a week that you look so exhausted?
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. If you've never used, like, video editing software before, I do know how that goes, right? Like, genuinely, I've used video editing software without any lessons before, and it's an exhausting, frustrating process. But, like, what were you all doing?
And they're exhausted. Like, Choo Choo is, like, head down, like, ugh, this is so much work. It's like, guys, you made a PowerPoint or two, and you made a video. Like, I don't understand what is the work that's being done.
A 10-second video. And, like,
yeah, it's not very,
you know, it's a lot more work than it seems, right? I get that. Yeah. But, like, you know, like, I mean, okay, think of it this way, right? Like, if you tell me and a group of people to edit a podcast, and I've never done it before, right? It takes a while, but it's like, it's not like the other 5 or 6 people have anything to do. It's one person at a time. And it's like, you can't, you know, this isn't like, we're not at Google Docs level where multiple people can edit a video at the same time. What were they doing?
Collaborative editing. Well, I think with like larger scale projects, this many people, yeah, you do need it. You need someone to write the script for that video. You need someone to film it. You need someone to edit it. You need post-production. But like, this is a student project, guys. Like, what? The weirdest, most complex, exhausting group project. And we don't see any of it. We hear them talk about doing it, and then it's done. And then all of it gets undone.
Yeah, and then the end product is like, I mean, it is cute. It is fun to see what they came up with. It does not achieve their goals, right? They're like, we need something we can send to investors to show them we know what we're doing. That's not what that video does. That video is clumsy. That video is
something that like me that Suleta wrote that's like, we are good, the Gundams are really fun, you should give us money, thank you, bye-bye. Like,
and the cuts are all awkward, and like the, you know, that performances are stiff, and it's like, again, that's fine, that's fun, but if you're saying like, and this will reassure investors, no it won't, there'd be a run on the bank.
Yeah, I mostly just feel like because they gave us all the boring parts. Like, they really did have a voice actor talk about the articles of incorporation. Like, literally one of the 101 things you learn in business school, but, like, don't care. And then what we don't get is, like, them making the video. All we get is just like, oh, no, fucking, it's done. Wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? What is this episode about? I know, like, not every episode needs to be like big themes advancement. It's like on the way towards something greater, and the shoddy swoop at the end is like kind of exciting, but
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's very silly.
I think this episode is about setting up Shadik as a threat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand, right? Like, I mean, you have that scene with Gwell, which I think really, like, I guess I like, it establishes him in a way that is less uncomfortable than it had been up until mm-hmm. then, because until this point, he just seems like such a creep, because, okay, so his, what he wants is he wants to own people. That's what he wants.
Right.
And so far, we've only seen him do it to basically Miorine and Soleta, aka only to women. And so that really gets some really creepy context of being like, oh, okay, so basically you think that as a rich boy, your job is to buy women. This sucks. And I mean, you know, it's a shitty thing to do, but fortunately, he tries to buy Gwell in this episode, and you're like, oh, okay, you do this to everyone. At least it's not a misogyny thing.
Yeah, he's just a bad person. He's just comfortably, holistically, a really shitty rich boy who and, like, that's the thematic point here, is that his dad is like, you're going to win this in a duel, right? You're going to, like, fight, and we're going to cheat, just like Gwell's dad did. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it the new way, which is I'm going to make a financial play against her.
Mm-hmm.
A corporate play. And that's going to be the real evil of this character, is that he can afford and knows the way to manipulate the resources such that he's not even going to have to lift a finger and Ariel's just going to be his for free. Like, that's kind of interesting, you know?
And I appreciate the, like, positioning of him, like, saying over and over, like, you know, you get him saying it once to Miorine and you could see that maybe it is a line, but he says it, like, multiple times in private, too, and with his harem, where he
they're all really good looking,
where he is like, I genuinely think my dad is like stuck in his ways and an idiot, and it is up to us to create a future that our parents can't imagine, which is like, hey, Gundam, hey, I recognize this,
good.
It's Gundam,
yes, found the seams.
So that's fun.
Yeah, they're adult, they're like young adults trying to actually make tangible plans.
Mm-hmm.
It also feels like, and I know that they're probably like a year or two apart, but Shadik and his cohort seem like they are like years older than everybody at Gundarm Industries. Like, I feel like Gundarm is like a bunch of middle schoolers trying to make a company, and then he's like a graduate student being like, I know how this works. Don't even bother with me.
Well, it's because none
That's
of them
the
have done it before, right? Miorine has True. Pitched a bunch of stuff and been shut down by her dad all the time because her dad doesn't want her doing anything. Shadik, as is established, is a kid from an orphanage who has had to, like, since a very young age, prove successful businesses to get a dad and then to maintain that dad. So he's been doing this a long time. And I do think, like, one is he probably asks a lot of those women around him, right, who are helping him. But also they're like, you extremely get the vibe that these are people who are like, we think Shadik is cool, and so we're going to try to be like him. There's a degree to which they're faking it to try and hang out with him.
Right. It's the classic, like, preppy rich guy has friends who, like, they're minions, they're goons, basically, but they're not actually loyal to him, necessarily. They just want the clout, so to speak.
I mean, I think they might be loyal, but it's just, like, they don't naturally have that, like, killer business sense. I think they're smart, but they just aren't tuned the same way he is. And I think it shows in the moment where they're like, oh yeah, we've set this up and we've screwed Miorine over, and then we'll hand this over to your dad. And he's like, girls, we're not
Don't
doing this for my fucking dad.
I'm not Gwell. He's very clearly distinguishing himself from Gwell, who not necessarily is, like, intentionally doing things for his dad, but is, like, beholden to everything his dad wants, and that's what is his downfall so far.
Yeah, I mean, he is, like, I think it is entirely fair to say that Shadik is a lot more mature than the people around him, but so often we talk about maturity as this, like, okay, here's a comparison, right?
Okay.
You know what happens when you mature wine too much? It becomes vinegar. Maturity isn't, and I love vinegar, but usually that is not what people are going for in that situation. Maturity is not a purely linear curve of getting better, right? Shadeek is more mature, and there are good things about that, but he has also learned really hard lessons that have made him a shitty person. His maturity is not purely a good thing. He could stand to be a little more immature, undo some of this bad progress. And so that's what I want to be clear about what I'm saying.
Yeah, and he needs to be just, like, humbled out of his position a little bit, because everything's worked for him forever. Mm-hmm. He's no reason to believe that this is, like, a normal way to do business.
Right, for sure.
I mean, think about, like, the manipulation with Mjolnir, which doesn't really work for him, but he's like, you know, we're going to exceed our fathers and create a better future. You know, back in the day, like, when we worked together on that group project and we, like, had great ideas and then our parents told us not to do it. And she goes, like, I don't actually remember that, dude. He goes, huh, you don't? That's weird. I don't know what was up with that. But that is a classic, like, using your history with people to manipulate them tactic. And I think that's actually what works for him, ultimately.
I think she remembers. I think that's one of those,
she's
like,
lying?
I think it's a classic anime thing, right? Where you're talking, like, your former friend, now rival, is like, remember that time when we hung out at that party? And you're like, I don't fucking remember that. Fuck off.
You're right. I wasn't there. Fuck you.
So, I think it's just a Mjolnir, like... Mjolnir is not necessarily hard to manipulate, I think, but there are certain mm-hmm. avenues that are shut off to you because she is so stubborn.
Yeah, and stuff if you were like, oh, like, don't you want to be like your dad? That's like a hard no for her. That's not something she wants to do or interested in.
Mm-hmm. But also she recognizes if you're like, don't you want to be the opposite of your dad? She's like, you can't pander to me this much. I can see
you
what's
can't,
happening.
Exactly. Yeah, it actually characterizes her as very shrewd there. The other Mjolnir thing that I wanted to talk about this episode was bringing back the prologue, bringing back Dr. Cardonabo. Were you surprised? Were you excited to see the doctor again?
I was surprised to see her again. I don't know about excited, because what we're here to do is bring up a bunch of questions that I think they're fumbling the ball with.
Like what?
It's the thing we talked about in our very first episode about, like, talking about the prologue. Dr. Cardo says, you know, we were the thing we've discovered is heading into space is all the dangers of space. Weightlessness, vacuum, atmospheric composition, space radiation, and the disorders stemming from these. Gund is going to be our ray of hope, both for space exploration and for humanity's unity. What? How? How does it solve any of those?
I mean, it's a classic history. I don't think it does. But
no.
It's a classic history thing, right? Where they say, invest in our military technology because it'll help us advance medicine. Like, that's often how military tech gets funded at big companies like Raytheon or whatever. Is that like, oh, this is going to have all sorts of uses. And it's like, you're probably just going to sell it to the military and use it to bomb people in countries that we have never seen before, like, we don't have any, like, contact with.
But this is the Vanadis Institute. This is before they are Ox Earth. This is back when they're the Vanadis Institute. This is back when they are a medical institute. So it's actually them saying, like, fund us building this medicine because it will help people. And it's like, medicine for what? Like... You're showing us aspirin and telling us it's going to cure heart attacks. There's no correlation here.
You're also telling us that, like, the technology that lets us build limbs is going to cure cancer. Like,
right.
Your very specific technology that you're making. And that's, like, how business, you know, proposals work, is you take something that does one thing and you say that it can do 8,000 things. Like, I understand that. I read this as Dr. Cardo and... as Suleta's mother are both completely full of shit. Like, all of the stuff with Suleta's mom earlier in the episode where she's like, you guys really need to, like, advance the, like, notion that Gundams are safe for everyone. It's like, you know it's not. I think the show is saying, like, you should be suspicious of Lady Prospera and maybe even Dr. Cardo about the way that they talk about gun technology and how, like, it's going to be so helpful. It's like, you don't promote it that way. You don't tell people, oh, make sure everybody gets this. If we give everyone one, it's almost like they're indoctrinating society, so to speak.
I don't think that's fair to Dr. Cardo. I think Dr. Cardo might be naive, but we don't get any sign that she is, like, you know, we didn't get a lot of time with her before she got, you know, shot in the face. But we don't get any sign that she is out here trying to, like, play people in that way. She may be too optimistic about what this technology can do, Lady Prospera, I mean, absolutely. Lady Prospera cares about revenge, and she is willing to wear the mask of these things she used to care about before she got so pissed about all this to seem less harmful, though it is not working very well on Miorine. This is, like, the thing that, a quick side tangent, the thing that Lady Prospera does not realize is that when she thinks she's really good at manipulating people, and she's okay, but, like, you've been having to just manipulate Suleta for a long time.
You've been manipulating, like, your daughter.
You think you're super strong, and someone's like, dog, these are 2-pound weights.
Right.
You haven't even seen
weights yet.
Suleta, like, gets confused after watching a Saturday morning cartoon that her eyes don't bug out when she sees someone cute. Like, she's a moron.
She watches a Saturday morning cartoon, and she's like, I thought they beat Cobra last week. What the fuck? Why is he back? Like, she can't accept continuity.
You said you think this guy was... You thought he was cute? That's weird. Your jaw didn't drop to the floor, and you didn't shout a wooga. I don't understand.
Your tongue didn't roll out of your mouth like an accordion or something.
That's just like... Yeah, she's far too stupid to be an effective demonstration of whether or not you're a good manipulator.
I think, to your point, I think that Dr. Cardo, especially in this, which is pre-prologue, this footage, is coming into it with good ideals that are completely corrupted by the time we reach the prologue.
I don't know if they're completely corrupted. I certainly think they're compromised, right? She is
yeah.
building military technology in order to advance this idea here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I mean, if you try to be the most generous you can to this, then the end of their conversation doesn't make sense, where they start talking about a mobile suit that helps people, right? Because Gund doesn't want to build mobile suit. Gund building mobile suits was a, like, it is an effective use of it. That's fine. They could use it to some degree. But ideally, by the ideals of the Gund format and its, you know, theory, mobile suits should be a distant priority as opposed to, like, what Dr. Cardo shows on screen and when she's like, this is the potential, which is a fully cyberized body, right? A fully cyborg body that is, like, and that does solve, like, some of these issues, right? If you were having issues with radiation, if you were having issues with muscle atrophy from weightlessness, if you're having issues with the vacuum of space, if your body is entirely cyborg, if you're Ghost in the Shell, then that's not a problem anymore. Now, new problems occur, whatever. This is how things work. But, like, you can't then say, yeah, what we really need is to create the Hospital Zaku from Gundam Seed.
I mean, Six, weren't you and I literally just talking about, like, if I could get a metal kidney or whatever, I just would do that. Like, why wouldn't you fucking do that? That gets into, like, the transhumanist discourse, though, of, like, every book and game is always like, is it worth it? It's like, yeah, most of the time it actually super is, and we're kind of afraid of it because we're afraid of it because it's going to be manipulated and we don't want to forward away control or remove control, but, like, that's what happens when the military gets involved. That's what happens when the government gets involved. But, like, you can make med tech without it being compromised by like, evil ideals. It happens. It exists. We're doing it.
It does. I want to push back a bit, though, because I think, like, you know, I don't think you think this. I think this is just, like, part of the conversation we're not talking about. But, like, to say it out loud, it's not like governments are the only source of evil in the world.
No,
corporations do shitty things too, and you should be suspicious of medical companies, right? That's fair.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, even when people are well intentioned, which, you know, very often there's someone in the process who isn't, but even when they are well intentioned and doing everything in their best interest, this is all such complicated shit that it's extremely fair to be wary of, like, unintended side effects, right? Like. What is the, like, possibility that, like, we switch everyone who's working in space to Gund format cyborg bodies, and then 30 years later we're like, oh shit, we just realized there's this other problem where it causes, like, atrophy in the brain or something, right? Like, it's such a complicated thing that it's easy for there to be things you've overlooked. Now, all of this is fun to talk about. The show is never going to talk about any of this. This is too high level. The show is going to go, yay, this mobile suit's beam save people.
Do you think? I don't know. I don't know what the scale of this is. This has been my question with Wish for Mercury since the start, though, is like, what is the scale that we're going to deal with? Go ahead.
I mean, when you say a mobile suit that saves people, there are two things I think of. One is, of course, the fucking, you know, Hospital Zaku that I posted. And the other is fucking another seed thing, which is Kira Yamato with his fucking rainbow beam shooting guns out of people's hands. Like, I don't see a way that, unless ultimately their conclusion is that was a naive dream, I don't see how this resolves, and I don't think it's the dumbest shit in the world.
I think the Gundarmy group does realize this is a naive dream. And what I think is, like, if we're going to really, really dig into the text here, which is what we do, there's something so interesting about them starting, like, okay, we're bleeding money because we bought two development teams. We need to earn money. How do you earn revenue? Okay, we have this technology. Number one, let's sell it to the military. It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's our only option, I guess. And we have this, like, little bit of conversation about, like, oh, Chuchu will only sell to Earthians because she's obviously anti-Spacian. Other people are like, no, actually, like, my family was Spacian. That's kind of bullshit. And also, the true agreement is, like, you can't make enough money selling to one side. That's why war profiteers sell to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and then they're like, oh, no, let's – maybe there's, like, an ethically safe way to sell this technology. Oh, let's do medtech. And it's like, no, that's the thing, though. That's what everyone does. When the first decision is too hard and you can't think about, like, what to do with military technology, we always go to medicine as if that's, like, completely morally clear and good and perfect, which is, like, what Dr. Cardo says it is. And, like, these kids are gonna get a rude awakening. I'm almost certain of it.
Well, and also, I mean, I hope so, right? Because, like, also, like, okay, you have taken the more difficult road of greater scientific advancement and, like, huge leaps in the theory here. Hang on, let me do a head count here. How many of you motherfuckers are scientists? Oh, none of you?
Yarrow? Huh.
Like, this is, like, this is, these motherfuckers are Elon Musking it. They're like, we bought Twitter, therefore we're experts at this. You don't know shit.
Yeah, do any of you know what medtech is? Like, honestly, selling these as weapons is, like, easy and in your wheelhouse. People buy it, they don't tell you what it's for, and then you get a lot. You get a check at the end of the month.
And you, but, and like, you are buying some people who know how to do military tech. You are not buying anyone who knows how to do medicine. You're buying Lady Prospera, who, like, I mean, she
clearly
knows
wants
a little,
revenge and wants to start conflict also.
Yeah, but her, she doesn't care about that anymore. And you're buying Belmario Winston, who is a fucking, like, fangirl who loved the idea of these weapons.
It's so embarrassing, the scene where she's like, I actually don't know shit about shit, and I am copying how we did it before. So sorry about that. It's so, like, oh, God.
It's amazing. It is, like... Belmeria as a character, I want so much more of, because the idea of this lady who is, like, who was fangirling after this dark science she didn't understand, and now she's just permanently exhausted because, like, the thing she was, like being a fan of, everyone who actually knows it has disappeared. And so now suddenly, like, it's like if you, like, love Blackpink, right? And then Blackpink disappears, and everyone who worked with Blackpink disappears, and they're like, okay, Alan, we need you to do Blackpink's work. No, not the music. We need you to work the books. And you're like, what are you talking about?
I just like the videos, and they're like, we need a financier. You're like, I mean, money probably goes here, right? Development goes towards outfits.
They borrowed a lot of money from the mob. This is your problem now, Alan. Like, she's just so out of her depth. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what her fate is for the show, other than joining the team and, like, doing something weird with them. But they need a med. They need a medical person. They need an actual. And we don't know anybody in the show right now who's, like, very competent in that.
No.
So this, even if this shoddy thing didn't happen, that plan was doomed to fail. But now at least we're going to pivot and take care of him next, and either be like, hey, I duel you, and the condition is you don't get to give us the comp. You don't have the company. But if they do that, then where's the money come from? They do not have the money to do this right now.
It feels like Gundam Wing, where they're making like Gundam Wing is a show that famously starts amazing, right? Starts so good, and then the writing just drops off a cliff. And there are two reasons for this. One is a change in the staff, right? But the other is, even at the beginning, they were living day to day. They were going paycheck to paycheck. They did not have a plan. And so even though I think the writing that was done later in the series is like just quality-wise worse, it is also having to deal with a bunch of threads that there was never a plan to tie down. And this, to me, this show feels so flying by the seat of its pants. They don't know what episode they're making next week. And like, obviously, you know, what episode they've made next week has already been made as we're speaking, right? But I'm talking about during the process, right? Like, everything is coming in hot, and they don't have a plan. The show starts out being like, okay, these are the stakes. No, these are the stakes. No, these are the stakes. And they're not changing. Like, it's not this, like, escalation. It's not this, like, natural progression. It's them realizing their stakes suck and resetting over and over.
Right. Exactly. It feels very, not improvisational. I think that's unfair. But like, okay, we got the Gundam license. We're working on the show. We made it look good. We got the characters. What's the story we're going to tell? I don't know. They have a company. Okay, how does that go? How are they going to fund it? Okay, they work with this guy, but he's betraying them. Okay, then what? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the arc after this shoddy thing is. I don't know anymore. I want, you know, the theory I've like posited over and over that I would love is if we jump forward in time and these people have like actual military positions and they're dealing with war. I think that's so interesting. But I don't fucking know if they're going to do that. There's no press or PR or anything that's going to tell us that. I just want to get back to the vibes of the prologue at this point. Like, my bar has been, like, significantly lowered by this show. I watched the prologue with my roommate, by the way, because before we watched this, because I felt like they've been referencing it more, and, you know, I wanted to, like, make sure he knew what happened in it.
Mm-hmm.
Prologue still owns way darker than the rest of the show. Obviously, that's why it was an OVA and not episode one. So it was really exciting to see Dr. Cardo immediately after seeing her eat shit, being like, oh, she's fine. Not fine, but here's a video of her. She exists.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in this episode, briefly, Miorine watches her dad's speech from the prologue on her phone. So, like, it's all there. They're still referencing it. But,
and,
like,
and Miorine does do the thing, right, where she asks the question. I want to talk about your prologue experience in a sec, but just since you mentioned it, it's so funny that Miorine does the thing. Again, Miorine is just the one character who, like, she's written to be a straight talker, and it's good, but she keeps accidentally straight talking through why the show is bad, because she watches that and she's like, this doesn't make any sense. If the technology was flawed, why wouldn't you work on fixing it? Why did we turn it into, like, the devil and you're not allowed to say its name? That's completely incoherent.
And it's like, you know what? Good question. Come back in 100 weeks or whatever.
You're saying this like the show has the answer. I don't think it does. But it's funny you mentioned the prologue, because I think we can go back to Wing again, right? I think what you've done is you've gone back and you've watched the opening episodes of Wing, and they're fucking fantastic. But we can't not talk about the fact that I think the prologue was a great piece of animation, a great little story that did a terrible job of setting up what the show had to be.
Right. And the show is just not, it's not meeting that at all. The show is not even coming close to that.
Yeah, the show is also falling down on its element. But, like, by having the prologue be so dark and about these, like, big, heavy things, and, like, these adult, like, and I don't mean adult, I mean adult in two ways. I mean adult as in, like, these are heavy topics to grapple with, but also these are topics that adult characters discuss. And these are all things that the second you start your weekly show for, like, for teenagers, you cannot talk about this stuff.
Exactly.
You have done a bad job shutting up the show.
Yeah, it's just so drastically different, too, that, like, on one hand, you don't need to watch it because the tone and the ideas are completely different. But on the other hand, like, they are referencing characters and there's dramatic tension in, like, seeing Suletta there. Like, the roommate really enjoyed, you know, seeing, like, oh, why did she change her last name? Like, as we watch the prologue, and then by the end he goes, that's why she changed her last name. And, like, that's her mom and that's Lady Prosper and that's why she's like this. And, like, all that stuff. And then even, like, when they see the video from Dr. Cardo in this, and everyone else is like, oh, yeah, Dr. Cardo. And Suletta is like, who the fuck is that?
And yeah. Like,
it was just like 10 years ago that you were calling her Nana. Like, she was your grandmother figure for a while.
Yeah.
Like, something happened to Suletta. That's why, like, you know, we talk about how frustrating it is that she is so... She's just like, everything flies over her head. And it's like, you were there. You had all of the answers. And they wiped them out of you. They made you forget. And that's so... There's the tragedy from the prologue to the show.
Is that... Like, who made them forget, though? Right? Is this... Are you saying that this is going to be a reveal where Suletta is such a good pilot because she's been experimented on and her memories are fucked with? Or is this another case of the show just not thinking through its shit?
It's probably the latter, actually.
I mean, I'd be happy for it to be the other one. I don't want to completely cut off the possibility, but, like, we have talked about so many examples where it is, like, I mean, I think the most recent one was last episode we talked about the Shall We Gundam. There was the whole, like, Pale Technologies being, like, this resonance only happens between two Gundams when they showed it happening to Aharo. They don't think through their own things.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't know enough about how the show is made. But I always, I try not to think of, like, they weren't thinking of it. Because, like, they made it. I would hope they were thinking of it at least a little bit. But, I mean, I could be wrong about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, like... It is me, like, I don't know how much I can assume about the creative process there. And, like, what they had in mind, what I can say is the product they have been putting out, the story they have been producing, has contradicted itself constantly and had a terrible time connecting A to B.
Yes, agreed.
For sure. And, you know, the situation is a nightmare. I'm not saying any of this to dunk on them or the work they're doing because, like, it's a really shitty time to be making anime and you're working with, like, Sunlith Sunrise and the Gundam property, and I'm sure it's like working with Star Wars, right? Where you have to fucking call back to the fucking, you know, Skywalker Ranch for every little goddamn thing you want to do. I'm sure it's a nightmare. I am not trying to roast them, but what I'm saying is the end result is a disaster. I'm enjoying it reasonably. I would be enjoying it a lot more if I sat back and was, like, drinking, you know, a 40 and, like, playing Pokemon as I watched. But I'm not. I'm on this podcast. I'm paying attention, and it can't hold up that weight.
Yeah, that's the short and long of it. It's a lot of good vibes. It's like fun to watch. I laugh at the characters sometimes, but episode after episode, I'm like, are you gonna do anything with this? You're really suggesting some cool stuff. Nope, you're not gonna. We're just gonna go back to vibes, I guess. Okay. Yeah, it's been a bit of a letdown. I can safely say that, too.
It's just the classic thing that gets me heated, right? Where it's people being like, I don't need a story to be smart. But if you're going to be stupid, you need to stop prefacing everything with check out how smart this is going to be.
Right, exactly.
So.
And it's just not going there.
No.
Did you have any, like, stray notes or little moments you wanted to shout out?
I mean, I liked another Belmeria moment. I really liked when, Miorine is trying to talk about this stuff with Belmeria and she finally just like she is just sitting there looking stressed out. But then she does cut her off and says, stop, don't call them witches, which
yeah,
I like just a good characterization of both how thoughtless Miorine is being and like the things that will genuinely get Belmeria, this constantly trod upon woman, to speak
get her
up.
Angry
yeah
or care yeah
I do like the details of like despite the fact that thinking it doesn't serve its narrative role in their promo song, their little brief ad, I do like, you know, seeing the cuts of like day turning into night and Suletta seeming more and more tired every time that sort of flickers.
Oh yeah,
good animation.
That's
there
good touch.
And I really enjoyed Suletta. I enjoyed seeing Suletta's mom, Prospera, do the same shit again. Like, literally the same take-off-my-arm trick. And Miorine wasn't there for it the first time. And so we get to see Miorine have the initial shocked reaction. But it wears off quickly, and she leaves the scene going, Suletta, didn't you notice how she didn't answer any of our questions?
Yeah. Didn't you, you weren't curious about how, like, you could die because you're not getting affected by that suit? And she's like, oh, I... Like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
The arm thing was interesting, and it is working less. So maybe there's some sort of development there.
I just think it's... I just think it's... I think if there is anyone I believe they have a plan for, it is Lady Prospera. I don't think any of the content with Lady Prospera I've... Like, sometimes it hasn't been my favorite. All of it has seemed really well considered. I think they have a good arc in mind with her and the way people are dealing with her. Unfortunately, part of that arc has to be Suletta, the main character of the show, being the dumbest person I've ever seen.
Challenge accepted.
Though, they do backseat her in this episode, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, 90% of my notes are about Miorine.
Maybe they listen to me.
Let us here to deliver pizza.
Maybe it is going to turn into the Miorine show with my hot pilot girlfriend. That'd be alright.
It bums me out, though. But yeah, that would be all right. Better performed, better characterization, etc.
Okay, do you want to save the show, Alan?
Yes. What do we do?
Transfer student.
Okay.
Says she's from Earth. Okay, so she's an Earthian. No. Oh, but she's rich. Interesting.
Oh.
Relina Darlian?
Yes!
Just bring Relina in here. Help her. Have her fix the show. Make sure it's the first half of Wing Relina, not where she goes thereafter.
No, it's she gets there. She gets a tour of the school, and she goes, but, and they're like, "What's up, Relina?" And she's like, "Where do you guys have birthday parties? I need to invite people to my birthday party. It's the only way I know how to socialize."
Miorine's like, "You know what? I'll be nice. I'll invite the new girl to my birthday party." And Relina smiles and closes her eyes and tears it in half and says, "I'll kill you."
She's like, "Why'd you say that?" She's like, "I don't know. It just felt like the right thing to say." Really subconscious.
We, the duality of man. We are both here to say we fucking love Wing. Also, Wing is kind of bad.
Yeah, that's welcome to the Gundam fandom. Whatever you like, it's also got some yucky parts, some stinky parts.
Someday we're going to be able to say this about this show, and that'll be a relief, as opposed to having to deep read it. God, I feel so bad for Emin Jackson.
I know. Oh my God, in like 11 years when they get to this? Well, oh God.
But also, like, this is why they
didn't
like...
And they're always doing this.
Right, this is why they didn't like Wing, is because they had to do this.
Brutal. You know what? Brutal. I had some quick ones, by the way.
Yeah, please.
The girl who does the, like, the fortune telling with the stone throwing tells Lily Kay that you will have trouble with men in the near future.
and Lily Kay does the oh no, it's so good. Lily Kay's the best.
Oh no, that's so much a bummer. Anyway, it's going to be the most successful secretary and do all the work. The two boys that fight each other about money in this episode, one of them, the one with the bowl cut, his name is Martin Upmont. Which is such a good, like, shit-eating name. Just a loser. Martin Upmont. He gets yelled at in class. Fantastic boy. I talked about watching the prologue from the phone. When Shadik talks to Miorine and she says, "Isn't your daddy allergic to Gundams?" I thought that was kind of fun. Isn't his dad in the prologue?
Yeah.
Sarius?
I think that's... I don't know what he did in the prologue. I think that's right. You're the one who's seen it recently. I have not, so I don't quite recall.
Yeah, he's in it. He's just not... I don't remember what he says. There's a lot of, like, people talking for 2 seconds and then cutting away.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say this. There's something very gay about Shadi coming to Guel and being like, "Go away, bullies. I'm going to bully him." And then leaving his business card and being like, "Call me later, honey." Like, what the fuck? Just kiss him already. Sheesh Louise. And then we didn't talk about the PR video because it's entirely a gag, but... Gundarm, Gundarm, Array of Hope, Gundarm, Gundarm, Forward to the Future. It's safe to pilot. It's reliable to use. It can fly. It can dance. And then she runs out of the fucking rhyme scheme and just goes, Ariel! it's so goofy. And then they're like, is it bad that we're dealing with military technology? And one of the students has the goddamn audacity to say there's no good or evil when it comes to saving lives. Motherfucker, what did we just talk about for 45 minutes? Medical technology is military technology very often. These things happen hand in hand. I want to harder. I just want them to read one history book. Just read one.
Yeah, like I'm not here to support the military industrial complex. I think it's terrible. However, mm-hmm. when that one bitter war orphan kid is like, dog, what does it fucking matter? Let's just make money. World is hell. I'm like, yeah, you're right, buddy.
Yeah, same. Yeah, totally. We want to get one more step towards a good show, and next week's episode is called If I Could Take One More Step Towards You. Who do you think is going to step?
I mean, I guess it's got to be Shadiq. I don't know.
This episode was called Their Choice. Who made a choice? The Shadiq did? Wait, the girls did?
I think Earth House did in choosing to be, though it really wasn't. I mean, there was a little bit. There's the, you know, Martin talking in school. But, like, there wasn't that much protestation. There wasn't that much grief over, should we actually do this company
thing. Yeah. Should we do it? Yeah, seems good. I don't see any problem with it. Done. Decision made.
It feels like that's how they're, like, shifting the direction of this show. Is the rest of the staff is gathered around being like, as the director said, the show's about this now? Okay.
Yeah, you can just tell us.
And then like the like that one kid, one of the artists says, the pay's good, I'll work. If the pay's bad, I'll slack off. Let's go.
That's my guy right there. We love that guy.
Homie.
Absolutely. That's all I got.
I do want to see what they'll do with Gwell.
Oh, I really do too. Let the boy eat his soup. I love his mug soup. And then get him back in a mobile suit, please. That'd be great.
It is like, I didn't anticipate. I was like, they need to build this guy back up, right? But they're doing the WWE, like, training montage version, right? Where he's not going to have another match for a while. That's not how we're going to build him. We're going to show him being a cold motherfucker in between. We're going to show him drinking his soup while someone pours water on his head, and he barely even notices. He's hard.
He's hardcore. What a king.
Next, he's going to cut down some trees and, like, lift the tree trunks. You know, it's like Rocky or when John Cena trained to fight Rusev.
Oh.
It's Rusev Day, by the way.
Happy Rusev Day?
Happy Rusev Day.
I'm not a WWE person, but happy Rusev Day. We have Roosh over at AEW. Wait, no, I think we have Rusev. I think he's just called Miro, though. He's here.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, he's just in it. All right, we like him. Miro's cool. He's not in AEW enough, but they do, like, lean into his Bulgarian heritage in a way that I like.
That's great. Yeah, he was.
That's my favorite thing. When you tell me about a WWE wrestler, I'm like, what are they up to? Oh, I've seen them. They just go by a different name now.
Great. Good for him.
Before this becomes a wrestling podcast, let's take it to the close six.
All right. Well, Alan, where can people find you on the internet?
Social media is hell. My Twitter is locked and will hopefully be incinerated eventually. Or not. I don't know. I have a co-host, but I also don't want to plug that. Instead, I want to plug my podcast. It's Chats: A Television Podcast. CHATZ. Over there, every week, my friend Majalan and I watch two episodes of a TV show and discuss it like a book club. We're currently watching the Netflix series Sense8, and we're going to be starting season 2 of that show soon. So get caught up and check out Chats, the Television Podcast, wherever you listen to those. Six, what about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. I stay there to stay in contact with people like you, because my DMs are open. Anyone can DM me. Don't abuse the privilege. You can also find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia.
Fantastic, Six.
And until next time. What's up? Go ahead.
On?
Shoot it.
No, I wanted to do the outro. I don't remember what the outro is, though.
I think we usually just say peace out, but we got to come up with something, right? I mean, we've only got like 3 episodes left, but we probably got to...
Wait, really? It's that soon? It's 12?
I think it's a 12 core, yeah.
Oi. Oi.
Oi.
Keep on.
Keep on keeping on.
Don't call me a witch. Keep on keeping, keeping gunned on. Bye bye, everyone. Why did I wave at my screen like people could see me?
So we got a question from a listener, Alan.
Ooh, a question, a pregunta? What could it be?
I thought that was like a type of like, it's like a, I was going to make some sort of joke about it being like a pierogi, but like, one, it doesn't sound that similar, and two, it's not a good joke. It's fine to see other languages exist, and they're cool. But we got a question from listener Vi on Twitter.
Hey, thanks, Vi.
So I guess I'm just going to go right into it. Yeah. Having agreed with your opinions about Suleta in the recent episodes, I got curious and checked what was going on in 00, as in Gundam 00, at episode 7. Have you done this comparison before, or this, excuse me, have you done this kind of comparison before, or just for which? I know it's not exactly fair comparisons around, but I think the interesting differences make up for it. So, we've talked about, like, on this episode even, and sort of fairly consistently, that this is not the way we usually watch this, right?
Week to week, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And not the way we sort of analyze Gundam, usually. So, in the interest of fairness, as this listener rightly points out, let's talk about what was happening in other Gundam shows around this time. And, like, we're getting so frustrated with progress of characters and stuff, you know, what's going on elsewhere? You want to start with Wing, since that's our common touchstone here?
I do, yeah, that's the show that in a big way contributed to Six and I becoming friends and starting to podcast together. So yeah, let's start with Mobile Suit. What is the like weird title? Doesn't that one have a different title?
New Mobile Report Gundam Wing. Yeah.
There it is.
So this was Scenario for Bloodshed, which is when Oz, like basically Trey's tricks the Gundam pilots into attacking the Earth Alliance base, and like, you know, you have that shot of like Hero cutting the plane in half that has all the pacifists on it, right?
Oh my god. Yeah.
This is the Big Oz coup. This is Lady Un having General Septim do a speech, then opening a plane, dropping him out of it, chair and all, and then shooting him in the head as he falls.
Amazing, iconic, yes.
Yeah, this was an incredible episode, actually, is the thing.
Okay, so this is the thing though. You know, I talk a lot about on Oops More Anime about how like, oh, this show might be building towards a bigger arc. Like it's on a longer tail. The thing about Gundam Wing is like, yeah, they got somewhere cooler in episode 7, but they burned way too fast and they ran out of plot. So like, it's the equivalent of, I don't want to say like burning your load or something, cause that's really gross, but I don't know what, I don't know if it's a different metaphor. They front load all of the really cool action stuff. And this episode 7, Scenario for Bloodshed, is like the peak of Gundam Wing. Oh my god, what is this show even doing? And they got there in 7 episodes. It's impressive.
True. They spent all their Delta V, and now all they did is get into orbit. Now they can't go anywhere. That's a rocket like rocket science.
Six, can I get your impression of General Septim, please, in English?
But what about the mobile suits?
That's really good. I have to
clip fix that like crazy, but thank you. Yeah, I you are right? That quickly after this, Gundam, I don't think it gets bad, but I think this is one of the best episodes of Gundam Wing, and they definitely, like, immediately start to struggle with, okay, we did all this stuff, where do we go? But I also do think, like, I don't think it's impossible to continue to have a good show after this, right? I don't think that's hopeless.
Right.
And I also think that at this point it's done a great job of like setting up the situation and like the character conflicts and like, so like we have a lot of like Duo and Hero hanging out in this one and, you know, being like working together, but like Duo keep continually getting frustrated at the way Hero is and how abrasive he is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Lady Un being extra, Trace's schemes, the basic conflict between Oz and the Alliance that comes to a complete head and then boils over, and then the Alliance is just not a problem anymore because they're almost all dead. It may be, you can say it moves a little too fast, but like comparing it to Witch from Mercury, I would say we're at a position where like I don't look at where the story is and find myself looking at any element and being like, why haven't we developed this? Everything has been touched.
In with the Witch from Mercury, you said?
No,
in Wing.
In Wing. Mm. I think in Witch from Mercury, there are a lot of elements. I mean, you know, as the listener points out, as we've said, primarily Suletta, where it's like, you just haven't done anything here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are more than that. I think, like, we haven't been really introduced to all the companies properly yet, right? We sort of gotten a little, like a brief intro, but, like, sort of don't really understand the deal for the companies writ large. We're still trying to stop talking about witches all the time.
or define what that means specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
The ensemble in Witch from Mercury is a little bit better established also than Wing at this point. That's like a point in its favor, I would argue.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's fewer major characters, but the ones that we have, you know, especially in the Gundarm, like, Industries group in that house, are all, like, interesting and fun. And I think it's also just going for something very different, right? Like, we
sure,
it's tough to compare Wing to Witch from Mercury because Witch from Mercury is like a school anime and kind of it's kind of doing that first before it's a like military story, and it's trying to like blend the two and it's doing all this different genre stuff, whereas like Wing is very much like traditional Gundam war story that happens to have high drama and like Shakespearean like politicking kind of stuff.
And, like, one of the things, like, since you pointed out, one of the things about Wing is, like, there are, it feels like there are, like, major characters and then, like, just bad characters, right? Like, You have a lot of really great characters, I think. You have Hero, you have Duo, you have Zex, you have Trays, you have Lady Un, you have Noin, right? These characters that are big and important and interesting. Anyone who is not one of them is useless and nothing, right? Do you remember Otto?
Only because I have brainworms for this show, but
fair. Really. Do you remember Rashid?
Again, yes.
Like, well, all right. I realize my framing is probably useless given how much we've watched this show. But like, there are if you are not one of these big movers and shakers in Wing, you're just a completely boring silhouette stand-in character, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, like, there's no equivalent of a Lily Kay in Wing, right? Lily Kay doesn't matter, but she's fantastic.
Exactly. And that's the thing with Witch from Mercury is a lot of its characters don't necessarily matter, but they're just, like, entertaining to look at, to listen to, etc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're doing, you think they're doing, compared to Wing, that Witch Mercury is doing a more sustainable but slower build.
Precisely, yes.
Okay, well let's compare it to Gundam 00, as our listener did. Gundam 00, this is episode 7, Unrewarded Souls. This is the episode where they've done multiple interventions as you know, celestial being. The most recent one they did was the Republic of Moralia, which is sort of a, like, they don't really talk about it in the show properly, but it's like Outer Heaven from, oh wait, that reference doesn't mean anything to you.
I know what Outer Heaven is.
Yeah, so it's like a primarily mercenary nation, right? And since they're like, we're going to eliminate war, they're like, we should probably eliminate an entire country that is mercenaries. So they fuck that up, but then also you have the stuff with Setsuna and meeting Allie for the first time in the show, Allie Asasha's, and the reveal of his backstory as a former, you know, child soldier and terrorist. And then I think at the end of the episode you get, oh no, there's an unknown terrorist group that's bombing a bunch of places and with the demand that's still being knocked off. So it's leading into an arc that is dumb.
Mm-hmm. It's at a weird point in 00. I in terms of like which of these shows like has the best, we were talking about like sustainable arcs and stuff. 00 is like the most all over the place in terms of its pacing. It ranges from like a really strong start to a dreadful middle to like just starting to get interesting in that back third as we get like some character development and some actual political maneuvering. So it's a different arc, and this is right towards, I'd say, the beginning of the boring parts of 00, but we're off the tail end of some really good fights. We have all the characters here. There's that moment where they're on the island. That's like very memorable. Like it's a lot of the stuff is here. This is like, okay, it's, if you're just watching for the first time, you're like, okay, 00 is like humming along by episode 7. This is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, this is the start of a small downbeat before it picks up again and then it falls again. I think like really when you talk about 00, the part that's rough is season 2, right? But
yes.
Season 1 is 25 episodes, so they're getting in one season, one of their two seasons, as much time as, to our understanding, G-Witch is. I do think, again, I mean, we have the knowledge that the show is about to get kind of boring and bad in 00 for a bit after this. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the episodes they've had so far, they've mostly been pretty good and established the world and characters fairly well, I would say.
Definitely. Better than Witch from Mercury has.
If I was watching it like day to day, right, like and doing the crit the way I do for this, I would definitely be talking a lot about how like fucking Fisher-Price babies first politics, the stuff with Saji and Luis is,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, in fairness, I'm sure I'd be very harsh on that. But I feel like I have a better sense of what the show is going to be at this point in 00, whereas a G, which I still don't really know.
Yeah, the 00, for all of its faults, has, you totally know what it's going to be by this point. You have an idea of, like, mm-hmm. overall, these characters are going to do this, this is going to build, and there are some twists along the way. Mainly, like, I think of the Saji thing of, like, oh my god, this went so differently than I anticipated. But otherwise, it's like, god, 00 is such a, this is making me realize how weird of a show 00 is, like, conceptually.
It's very strange.
The arcs, the pacing, and the fact that it was, like, where it came in the Gundam timeline, it's just, like, it's an anomaly in a lot of ways. It's very mm-hmm. enjoyable mm-hmm. in parts. I watched all of it. I remember messaging you all constantly about it, but, like, this is like it's a weird comparison. If we're to make a judgment, if I'm to make a judgment call on like where, which of these shows I think is doing better at episode 7, I still actually think 00 takes that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like more interested and I'm ready to see 50 something episodes of this as opposed to like, where are you guys even going at episode 7 of G-Witch?
Yeah.
Or Gwitch if you're nasty. And you are.
Wow. All right. I'm sorry, I thought I was pretty cool, but I guess
nasty
not.
Can be cool.
You're right, that's true. IBO, Iron-Blooded Orphans, at this point, is Tekadon making contact with the Turbines, Tewaz's transport division, and clashing with them. So this is them meeting the guy whose faction is me and my 5,000 wives.
Oh my god! Sorry, I forgot not how bad IBO. Not bad. How weird IBO is again.
I mean, whether you think it's overall bad or good, I think at times it's extremely bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is just to like lay out the like those are a bunch of proper nouns to lay out more proper context. They have settled their affairs on Mars. They are going to try and get Kudelia to Earth. And as part of that, they are joining the Space Mafia.
Trying to remember the Space Mafia situation.
It doesn't let, like, they don't lean on it being the Space Mafia that much, except for when they're first introduced, where they have Orga, like, walking around in, like, a kimono and, like, yeah, I mean, you know, they're doing space Yakuza stuff because it's Japan. But the dude is clearly supposed to be, like, Italian, so I don't know why they do it like that. I think I would actually say that they're very similar, IBO and G-Witch here, because this is a moment where they've had a story arc and they've gone, ah, shit, how do we conclude this? How do we move on to the next stage? Space Don Corleone shows up. Like, it's just fucking out of nowhere, right? It's a very hard turn. And it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, this is a fun one to compare because IBO is so odd and, like, has one of the strongest starts of a Gundam series with, like, the revolution and the building the new team and all that stuff. It's been a long time since I've watched IBO, so, like, everything after that is a blur to me. But as I recall, it, like, kind of, it's the equivalent of a rapidly vacillating EKG of a show. Like, episode to episode, you're like, this is amazing. This fucking sucks. This is Gundam at its finest. What the hell is this? 2017. Yeah. This was my first full Gundam series watch, by the way, was IBO. Wow. When I was first getting, like, really into anime, I was like, oh, there's a new Gundam show that's out. I should watch it. It's IBO. And I was like, I think I was caught up at some point. I was watching season one as it was coming out.
Wait, you started watching anime in 2017?
No, I was watching anime as a kid. I was, like, seriously watching anime by, like, 2014, 2015.
I see. Attack on Titan.
I was in college. I was a baby. I didn't know my left hand from my right. But 2017 was one of my first, like, I should watch a seasonal anime thing.
I see. Yeah. I think that this is actually a weirdly apt comparison in a way I did not expect. And then I got one more for us. At this point in Mobile Suit Gundam Seed, this was the episode The Scar of Space, where they are, the Archangel is foraging for water in the debris field, and they find the ruined colony Unia 7. They hold a little memorial, and then they, at the very end, find an escape pod with Lacus Klein, the space idol, in it. This is before you realize that this show sucks, because it's a little generic at this point, but you looking at, like, episodes 1 to 7, it's a very coherent arc.
Yeah.
I think it shows, you know, plenty of the signs of what will be wrong with this show, but it mostly just seems, like, sloppy but solid. Because they had the colony blow up, they escaped, they ran to another place, it got blown up, now they're running again.
Oh, interesting. I definitely haven't watched any of Seed. But
what?
Not a second of it. Not even one moment of it.
Oh, man. You're too blessed to be stressed. That's amazing.
It's what I say. It's what it says on my door. But yeah, never touched Seed. No interest, no engagement with it. I think, like, your memes about it back when you ran that Twitter account were, like, really good. But thank you. I don't know or particularly am interested in Seed. It seems bad.
I mean, yes, it is.
I'm sure you can entice me if you were like, Alan, look at these mobile suits, or Alan, look at this episode where this person's gay or something. I would be like, oh,
the thing is, I don't think I can. Even the suits that I think are cool don't look cool in the show, because this is, like, what's that derogatory term people always use for this, like, modern anime art style? They, like, reference a piece of software very specifically. I forget.
Flash?
No. It's, like, the actual thing that they use to make
Manga Studio?
I don't remember. People know what I'm talking about. But yeah, basically, this is the beginning of this, like DigiPaint.
DigiPaint. Yeah.
This is the beginning of Gundam using, like, literally using DigiPaint. And I love the way old anime looks. I think plenty of DigiPaint shows look quite good. They were figuring out how to use DigiPaint and they didn't know how. And I think the show looks quite bad. And they did a remaster that makes it look worse. Like, people's faces just look bizarre and stretched at the point where you're like, why are your eyes at that point on your face? It just looks bad. Yeah. And so even the designs that I think are really cool, there are designs from the show. I think most of the ones I really like are from its sequel series, Destiny. But, like, there are models I own that are sick as hell. In the show, I don't think they look very good.
That's so. Really unfortunate. Yeah, and it's what, like, maybe if I see them rendered in a video game, then I'm like, oh, that was the idea. That's actually cool. But, like, in the show, it's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, let me, you know, just for the hell of it, let me get you a side-by-side that will take me a second to do, because okay. That's how. So here is, and they got better at it by Destiny, so, but here mm-hmm. is the main suit of Destiny.
Okay. I like it.
That's the Force Impulse version, yep. because it has multiple forms. And here is its RG, which looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's better than the art.
Much better, yeah. So it just, the art style is not very flattering, even to their coolest designs.
Oh, don't get me back into Gunpla. Don't do it, Six. Don't do it. I don't have the room for it.
Unless... I mean...
Don't, you're going to make a comment on how you say you don't have the room for it, and then you turn to your, like, 78 boxes in the corner?
No, I'm just going to show you one of the grunts from this.
Oh, no. Some grunts.
The resolution on this is disgustingly bad. Let's find
love 2000s better. Anime with bad resolution internet photos.
Oh, that's a MSIA. Well, I guess it'll work. Here is the Legao. Yes, it's a dog with wings and a lightsaber in its mouth. What's up?
Wait, that's all right. You're doing it. You're doing it. Remember when I said you could do it?
Yeah.
I'm sure this is in like one episode and it's not that interesting.
Yeah, it's like their, it's hilarious because for original Gundam, this is their Dom. This is for their desert arc. It's like,
oh, weird.
First Gundam has the Dom, they have dogs.
They have the sub.
Very funny stuff.
All this is to say that the episode seven is a decent judgment point of like, hey, where is this show at? Whether it's anime or not, it's like, mm-hmm. you're halfway through your first core. I hope I know what your characters are doing, and I hope that you have some sort of story that you're building towards. Not every anime does that well, which for Mercury, definitely not in the top echelon of tops of like episode sevens, but they are getting somewhere, and I still believe that they can achieve a longer tail arc.
Yeah, I mean, I think of everything we've talked about, I think every other show either does it better or about the same. I don't think any of them do it worse.
Yeah.
With the asterisk that you could argue Wing does it worse because Wing has done so much that it's about to tank.
Yeah.
But man, like the first seven episodes of Wing, wouldn't trade that for the world. Damn.
I put those on loop at a party. Just watch it. On mute. Don't even need sound.
Good stuff.
Well, thank you for the email.
Yes, thank you so much. If you want to send more emails, my DMs are open. That's the easiest way to do it. We also have emails at scanlandmedia.com, but then you're emailing Jen and she has to pass it to me. Just DM me on Twitter at sixdetmar. You know how it is. Full, you know, because I'm realizing there's probably no way I'm going to edit this in very smoothly. I'm just going to say we recorded this afterwards and tacked it in.
Yeah. Just so be transparent.
Yeah. But hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again for the email and, back to the, I guess we're putting this at the end. So bye.
Bye. Keep on Gundam.